Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're a nation that's obsessed with celebs, and the more private they are, the more we want to know. Every week in Fabulous magazine, we talk to our most loved celebrities, whether it's about fashion, beauty, or more personal matters. Now we're going one step further with this series of intimate and tell-all conversations.
Oh, you know, if I'm vegetarian and if I exercise really well, I'm not going to get cancer and I'm going to cancer-proof my life. And I'm like, I've been vegetarian for 25 years. I've run marathons and you know what about bowel cancer.
This is the podcast where I get under the skin of what really makes a woman by meeting the most important lady in their life.
Question was, what do we like to do together, wasn't it?
Dancing.
Yeah, we do
a lot. We do a lot of dances. A lot.
We do a lot of dancing, don't we?
And sometimes it's very embarrassing because we do it in embarrassing places.
Mums and daughters may not always be the best of friends, but in this show, our fabulous females are brave enough to let us into their personal lives and share the highs and lows of their relationships. I'm Lisa Snowden, this is Things I Told My Daughter, and here's what happened when I met Deborah James and her daughter, Eloise. Today I find myself in the Talk Sport studios, but I'm not here to talk about football, cricket or rugby. Thank goodness, as my knowledge and interest is pretty limited, let's be honest. I'm here, of course, to delve deep into the workings of the mother-daughter relationship. And on this episode, I'm speaking with Deborah James and her daughter, Eloise. Since being diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer, Deborah has become a campaigner raising awareness about bowel cancer. Now, if you don't follow her on social media, you should. Deborah James, aka the Bowel Babe. She's honest, she's funny, and she's quite frankly brilliant. She also co-hosts BBC Five Live's award-winning podcast, You, Me and the Big C. And she's written a book all about her experiences of living with this disease. It's called FU Cancer. I can't wait to sit and have a good old chat with her and meet her 9-year-old daughter, Eloise. So hello, Deborah James. Can I call you Debs?
Absolutely.
Yay, you can call you Debs. And it's actually so nice to be able to sit and have a chat with you. I was just, we've met each other a few times.
In passing at parties.
In passing at parties. You picked up awards at ceremonies I've been at, but we have never sat and had a proper chat. And Eloise, it's so nice to meet you. You're
Hi.
9 years old, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for joining me in the studio. I mean, you're very at home in a studio, obviously, my fellow broadcaster
Absolutely.
And podcaster and the like. So this is like a second home from home for you, isn't it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I love a bit of podcasting. Basically, I like to talk.
Yeah.
That's the
And
problem.
You're really good at it. And you've got a lovely tone to your voice, so you're just very listenable, if that's a word.
Somebody called me. I was on a late night show. And I think he was slightly inappropriate with my voice. I was like, I could listen to your voice for a while. And I was thinking, really?
And time to end this conversation.
Yeah, I was like, bye then.
Bye. So to help listeners get to know you both a little bit more, I want to ask you both to describe each other in three words. Debs, I'm going to start with you so Eloise can have a little think.
Oh, so Eloise, my darling daughter, you are absolutely crazy. That is my first word. You are crazy. You are amazing.
Thanks.
Oh, and you are, I'm going to say that you are the most creative person I know.
Thanks.
Wow. Aww. Really nice. Eloise, you had a think.
So, my first word is crazy.
As well? Are you copying
yeah.
mummy?
No, I thought of it before.
Okay.
My second word is funny.
Mm.
And then my third one is chatty.
Crazy, funny and chatty.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that. That's yeah. nice. I like that.
I like the sound of that. I think, do you think you get a little bit of the crazy from mum? Or do you think she gets it from you? Do you think she copies you?
I think she gets it from me.
What kind of mummy is Debs?
She's not like a very organised one. She's like a fun one.
She's not okay. very strict. Is she strict?
No.
No.
She's like, let's go and do a dance.
See, I like that. I mean, she's yeah. crazy and she's funny.
Yeah.
And that's like the best kind of mum, right?
Yeah, she's not like the one like go and tidy your room or do that. She's like a fun one.
Oh, thanks, Al.
So what do you like doing when you're together then? I know you've just come from a day out together.
Well, I like shopping with her because that's fun.
Do you have the same taste in fashion?
Sometimes.
You do?
A lot of times, but not all the time.
So did you choose your new handbag or did Mummy choose it?
Mummy saw it and I really liked it. Mm.
Yeah. What kind of fashion do you like?
Hard. I like... This is quite hard. I like...
You can just say... Why don't you talk... So you, Eloise really likes fashion, don't you?
Yeah. I want to be a fashion designer. Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you like? Do you like more floral, more patterns, more
I like shapes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want to create a brand, don't you?
Yeah, and it's called Glimmerous.
Oh, you can't give it away.
Oh, sorry.
We'll edit that bit out. We don't want anybody else stealing that idea. Oh, that's a good name.
It's a good name,
right?
It's a
really good name.
It's glamorous, but glimmerous.
Yeah, I like it. So is it got a little sparkle edge to it as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's clothes for like tweens.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she came down the other day, and I think this is really good. So this is why I think she's the most creative person I know.
I spent 4 hours on this.
You did. So in her fun time, she spent 4 hours creating a fashion line of like 9 different outfits. Or was it like
12?
12. Okay.
To be precise,
12 different outfits that included like signature shapes and all the different things that she was going to have in her clothing line.
Yeah,
well done you.
Thanks.
I'm excited to see this. And what age range is it sort of aimed at?
Well, it's like 9 to like 19.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
So like quite old.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Glimmerous is great. I like it.
Good for you. I expect to see your own Instagram account. She's too young, isn't she?
Daddy deleted my TikTok and he said I can get an Instagram account now.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not... I don't know if Mum's agreed with that, so we might not...
Well, yeah, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? She seems to like TikTok at the moment.
Right. No, I deleted it.
You deleted it. I'm not down with it.
Okay.
So I think it's really difficult, isn't it, with kids of this age in terms of what they... So, you know, TikTok, they're allowed to have accounts.
Okay.
And actually, it's kind of... What I've realised, you can be a bit safer with things like Instagram as long as someone like me controls it.
Because Mummy's always on Instagram.
Right, I can always see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So actually, we're debating at the moment. Mm. We're debating.
It's a bit tricky,
isn't
it?
You never know. Watch this space.
But I saw your tennis whites. You were twinning in your tennis whites yesterday. That was really fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's really nice as well.
Really nice. Nice photos, nice little bit of dancing.
Yeah.
Which is what I saw.
Absolutely. We always dance together, so that's something. So your question was, what do we like to do together, wasn't it?
Oh, dancing.
Yeah, we do
a lot. We do a lot of dances. A lot.
We do a lot of dancing, don't we?
And sometimes it's very embarrassing because we do it in embarrassing places. But it's still fun.
What have we just done today?
Well, everyone was looking at us and we were dancing in Tesco's.
And were you dancing to any particular music or just the song in your head?
No, just sing the song in our head.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
See, I think if you can't just be a little bit crazy and have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's really refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet a lot of people were probably very envious that they didn't have the courage to do the same thing you were doing.
Yeah, apart from the woman who kept on like...
She got escorted out.
There was obviously a lady who just needed to do her job. Yeah. She just needed to stack the shelves. And essentially, like, we were putting the camera up and every 2 seconds she kept just, like, coming in front, putting the flowers up again.
I feel like she wanted to be in it. That's why.
Do you think that was the thing?
Yeah.
I think maybe she did want to be in it.
So, Debs, let's go back a little bit to the start. So you used to be a teacher.
Yeah, I've been a teacher. Like, I did the whole, you know, university thing, then trained to be a teacher, went straight into teaching at the age of 22, mainly because I didn't know what else I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
And then I knew that I wanted to stay at university. And I loved being around kids. I think I am just a big kid. And then I did the whole, I just fell in love with teaching, actually. I tried it and fell in love with it.
How old were the kids that you were teaching?
I was teaching up to 18.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was in as a secondary school.
Right.
And I taught computer science. So that was I blagged it, essentially. I think I was the only girl that applied for the course, if I'm being really honest with you. Learned on the job and then became a deputy head teacher. So I worked my way up really, really quickly. So actually I was training to be a head By the time I was then, my whole world changed. I literally was about to take on a headship, and I was just working really, really hard in a school that was actually in special measures at the time, and now it's a good school, which I love that story. And then I got diagnosed with bowel cancer.
And that was in 2016, just literally overnight. Everything changed.
And I was really, I was kind of really, really busy. You know, when you're just working.
Yeah.
Your bum off and you're going through the motions, and then I just I didn't really have time to like stop and think. You know, you just always assume you've got a future.
Yeah.
You always assume like everything's there, you assume your kids will be there. I was always a really busy working mum of two, so you know when you think you're juggling everything but you're not really. But I would, did you see much of me, Elle?
No, because she was always either on a work thing or the only times I really saw her was the weekends.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm quite honest with that. And that's like your perception of what it was like when I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that that's a bad thing. I think I just had my priorities wrong.
Yeah.
You can do that job.
Like
that,
I mean, when you're a mum and you're working, I mean, I'm not a mum, but my sisters are both mums, and I know you're juggling and you're just doing the best you can.
You
and
just
it's like,
try to make
not
it
enough
work.
Hours in the day. And
no.
It's like, you know, and you do have that mum guilt, of course, but you've just got to do what you've got to do.
You've got to do it, and you can't win. Like,
yeah.
You have to accept the fact that you cannot win. So whatever happens, like, you either have to say, no, my career is not going to take precedent, so therefore I'm going to, like, stay at home or whatever it might be. But the biggest challenge was the cost of childcare.
Mm.
So the biggest challenge was I was a teacher, but when you've got two kids in childcare, actually, you're not really working for the money. That sounds really weird to say that, but by the time you've paid out for two kids in nursery full time, you're doing it really for your sanity rather than anything else.
Yeah.
So it is a massive, massive challenge. You make it work and you just do it. But at the same time, there's sacrifices that you make, and the sacrifices are probably that you know, you're not really balancing everything out.
Yeah.
I don't know whether everyone does anyway.
No,
at any
I don't.
Point,
I think we're winging it. We're totally all winging it.
We're winging it. We are.
But so then you weren't seeing much of your family, but then also you didn't pick up on any of these signs when you were feeling ill. You just sort of like put that on the back burner as well?
Yeah,
so
you know,
there were little
really
changes
busy.
When you thought, but you didn't actually book anything to go and see the doctor. Just thought, I'm tired because I'm working too hard.
Absolutely.
So
what were my symptoms? So really clear, like my symptoms were, I was really tired, abnormally tired. I remember like being in the staff room drinking like 7-8 cups of tea a day and it not doing anything for my energy levels. And I'm somebody who is quite energetic. I was working out, but I was losing weight. But then the key thing was that I was pooing blood. And I had a change of bowel habits, and it was really crampy. And I was going to the poo. I'm going to say that word. I was going to the poo like 8 times a day.
Gosh.
But I assumed that it was stress.
Yeah, and also caffeine, if you're having a lot of
caffeine. And then you just assume it was everything else. And then I booked appointments to go to the doctors, and I went. But the problem is that I was pooing fresh blood. And there's this misconception that basically fresh blood is like hemorrhoids or like...
Yeah, or a tear.
Or a tear. Something really benign, which statistically it probably is. But actually, then what happened was, I was pretty much dismissed because I looked healthy.
Because actually, on paper and statistically, you at 35 don't. I mean, when I think about bowel cancer, and this is probably wrong, I think food.
Yep, absolutely.
And lifestyle. And making poor choices. But you're 35, you're vegetarian,
yep.
You exercise, you've never smoked. There was all these things. So actually, you didn't look, not that I'm not sure what a typical person who has bowel cancer looks like, but it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. So there are some hard facts.
Yeah.
And the hard facts are that about 50% of cancers, not cancers, bowel cancers specifically, 40% of other cancers, but 54% of bowel cancers are lifestyle factors. And so that will be age, more likely to be male. You eat a lot of red meat, you smoke, you drink. You don't work out. So all the exactly how you're describing it. And that's about half the cases of bowel cancer. And then the other half are just for, you know, crap luck, if I'm being honest with you. And no, there's not really any rhyme or reason for it. And everybody says, oh, is there something genetic? And I've been tested for that. And thankfully, for the sake of Ellie and Hugo, there's not. But the majority of others, that there is no rhyme or reason. It's just one of those things. And actually, it's on the increase. Like, you'll see the headlines every single day, and I write about it all the time. It's on the increase, and all the people who are being diagnosed look like me. We're kind of fit, young, healthy, active. We shouldn't have it. And there is no kind of reason for it. And even my oncologist, who is one of the top researchers in the country, in the world, in fact, they haven't got the answers at the moment. So it is quite scary, and it's something that, you know, we are addressing, and that's why I campaign about it.
Yeah.
It can happen to me, it can happen to anyone, right?
I mean, the attitude that you have is, I mean, you say that you're living with cancer.
Yeah.
You're not fighting, you know, because people say I'm a cancer fighter, or, you know.
I'm not, but it's not like keen on that.
Completely different attitude, and I think quite... It's so important that you have that attitude, right?
Yeah, you've just got to... So the reality, and Ellie, I know Ellie's sitting next to me, but she knows this. She knows that when I was diagnosed, I mean, it was pretty bleak, if I'm being honest with you. I had more chance of dying in my first year than living. But that's unfortunately, that's with most people who are diagnosed at my stage of bowel cancer. Bowel cancer is really curable. That's why I'm not banging the drum on something that, like, can't be fixed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, when it's caught early detection.
Absolutely. Like, when bowel cancer is caught early...
Yeah.
You can be cured from bowel cancer. That's why it's worth shouting about. You know, I'm not doing this, like, for no apparent reason. The problem is that by the time it was caught with me, it was already in my lungs. Now it's in my liver. And the reality is that it's kind of like, it's just with me, it's a case of, like, keeping the lid on it.
Yeah.
And we know, like, there's great examples of people who are keeping the lid on it for years to come. And I'm very lucky that I'm treated at the Marsden and they are keeping a lid on it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, I also know that I'm lucky that my body's responding to it, touch wood, so far.
Yeah.
She says, desperately looking around. And I know that there's lots of people who haven't had that luck at the moment, but that's my plan, is to kick the can as far down the road. But it did look bleak, and the reality is that I probably shouldn't be alive today. Statistics say that I shouldn't be. So, therefore, you know, carry on going. You live with cancer.
Yeah, and you're just the most inspirational, remarkable, funny, brilliant woman. I don't, like, blow smoke up your ass, for want of a better expression, but you are, and you just look so healthy, and I just love your attitude. I love Bell Babe. I think it's amazing. When was that born, as it were?
That's the teacher in me.
Yeah.
So when I kind of had to step away from teaching, as much as it really broke my heart, actually, to do that. But mainly because if you work on the front line, you know what it's like. You have a job, and if you don't turn up at, like, 7:30 in the morning, somebody else has to cover for you.
Of course.
And I'm not somebody who commits to something and then doesn't do it.
Yeah.
I find that really difficult. You know, if I've said yes to something, I would do it, even now with cancer. And I think I just had to realise that at that point in time, as I'm being wheeled into have an operation, or, you know, 10, that I wasn't going to be, like, that reliable person that could work on the front line with the kids. So I stepped away from it. And then I kind of thought, loads of people, because I was part of a teaching community, started saying, how are you? How are you? Are you okay? And actually, that's really nice, but then it gets really tiring.
Yeah.
Kind of saying, oh, I'm okay, repeating your story. So I just started writing a blog, and I thought, what's the polar opposite? What's the polar opposite to somebody with bowel cancer? And it's like basically a fit chick with who talks about shit. Sorry, I'm not allowed to swear. I'm allowed
to swear. It's fine. Absolutely fine. That is amazing. Is that what went through your head?
Yeah. Basically.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Just right.
Earmuffs.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, she's heard it all before.
She's seen it before.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's basically nobody took it. Because women of my age, of our age, will talk about their breasts in a good way, in a positive way. You've got people like Chris Lenga, Copperfield.
Yeah.
They're doing amazing stuff, right? They're getting people to grab their tits in a positive way. positive way. Mm-hmm. Right, it's brilliant.
Yep.
So I hope that when Ellie grows up, you're not going to be worried about checking your boobs for lumps, are you?
No.
Exactly.
No. I mean, like, as if.
Seriously.
She's got to be on top of these things.
Exactly.
It's very normal.
And it's really normal, and it should be. But then the problem is that other parts, you know...
Nobody talks about
nobody
it. You're
talks
right.
About
I mean,
it.
You literally just brought, you know, all of the taboos and all of that sort of fear of talking about your poo and about what's normal, what's not normal. And you're saving lives by doing this.
Yeah, you actually are.
You know?
And I thought... I only shared my story really to show that if it happened to me, it could happen to anyone, and that's the teacher in me. And then that, you know, became a column and the, you know, a podcast and loads of different things. But I think what I realised and what I'm still realising is that every single day there are people like me being diagnosed, and we know that like 1,000 people are diagnosed for any type of cancer in the country every single day, which is quite a scary statistic,
really scary,
isn't it?
Statistic.
And with bowel cancer, 44,000 diagnosed, and it's the largest killer. So this is the problem. So bowel cancer and lung cancer as a group of cancers will kill more women than breast cancer now. And don't get me wrong, I am totally down. I'm totally supportive. I've lost best friends through breast cancer. I've lost family members, and I am absolutely behind all the campaigning with that. But we have to recognise there's other cancers.
Of course.
And we have to recognise women get other cancers and more women are dying from other cancers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I see myself fitting, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
There are people doing amazing stuff with breast cancer, but that's not me. Like, I'm going to be shouting about all the other stuff.
And dressing up like a poo.
And dressing up like a poo.
On your Instagram.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And catwalking and strutting and dancing in your poo costume. What do you think of Mummy's her bowel babe account, firstly? What do you think about Mummy being bowel babe?
Cool.
It's cool,
you
isn't
think
it?
It's cool?
Yeah.
Are you proud of her?
Yeah.
And what do you think about Mummy's poo costume?
It's quite funny.
It's quite funny, isn't it? I feel like you need like matching ones.
And
you
when
do, like,
she
dancing
first
in Tesco
got
together.
It, I just wanted to get in it.
Did you?
Yeah, so
it's nice. It's quite little. It shows off Mummy's fabulous legs, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember when we once walked down to the woods in Mummy's poo costumes, and she was like, it was so funny because she was dancing in her poo costumes.
You had to film me in my poo costume, didn't you?
Oh, did you do the footage of Mummy coming up from behind the tree?
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
That is so cute. That's proper bonding, isn't it? That's mum-daughter bonding. Absolutely love it. And what do you want to do when you get a little bit older, Eloise?
Be a fashion designer.
Oh, you want to be a fashion designer. There's nothing else on your agenda except for that. That is your main goal.
If I'm not a fashion designer, I want to be either... I love organising parties.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, that's what I would
Mummy,
want to
you do
be.
That. Debs, you organise a lot of parties too, right?
We love parties.
So, I mean, you...
Yeah, there's a party I want to organise it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds good.
Yeah,
you can organise my wedding, because I'm really rubbish at organising anything. So if you want a big party to organise, that's the one. So, Debs, when did you feel like it was the right time to talk to your kids about your diagnosis? And-
so I only did that when we knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So with bowel cancer, it's the... I had a colonoscopy. So that's almost like the golden thing in terms of diagnosing. It's basically a camera up your bum. And when that happened to me, they saw the tumour. So they knew exactly what they were dealing with. And they knew there and then there was cancerous. But until you kind of get biopsies, until you then have a plan, maybe see a surgeon, have an MRI, you don't really know what's going to happen. And you're not 100% certain it's cancerous, basically, until they get it out of your body and can kind of dissect it. And so with me, it wasn't until actually after I had a bowel resection, where they took out a third of my bowel. They took out about a third of my bowel and then resected it. That was my first major operation. I've had others since. And it was at that point that we then knew it was cancerous, because they saw my tumour. They knew it was cancer. Can you remember what happened when Mummy said... Can you remember back a couple of years ago when Mummy said, I've got cancer? Can you remember where it happened when I said, I've got cancer?
On the couch.
No, it happened at a restaurant. That's so interesting.
Why?
So we took you to the Olympic and told you there.
I don't remember a single bit of that.
You don't?
Do you not?
No.
Do you remember Mummy being at home more?
Oh, yeah.
And having conversations with...
Some, because I wondered why Mummy wasn't at work a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Or, like, at work. So that's probably...
But when was your first realisation that I had cancer?
Probably when I was 8.
When you were 8.
I thought you were just taking days off of work.
Mum is being really lazy right now. She's gone from one extreme to the next.
Well, that's good advice for any parents who are stressing about telling their children. Do not worry. They won't remember.
That really traumatic, that traumatic conversation that you've been sort of like psyching yourself up for.
Do you know, that's so interesting because in my mind,
yeah,
that's a massive deal.
How many years younger is Hugo?
So
he's 2 years younger.
He should remember. He was 9 at the time.
He was my age.
Yeah, he was now your age. I wonder if he remembers.
Oh, he's older.
Yeah, he's older.
Oh, yeah, he must. I'm sure he remember. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really...
Because if I was 9, I would remember.
Do you think? Well, I thought you'd remember when you were 7 and you can't remember anything.
I don't know why I was listening.
Have you always been really open and honest with...
Yeah, so what I decided was that... so it's really interesting actually hearing her say she can't even remember because in my mind it was really traumatic.
Of course.
So I just remember taking them and having to say, Mummy's got cancer. And then actually, when I think about it now, they were more interested in that. I think we then went on to watch a movie or something. I think you were more interested in watching the movie. I think now when I look at it retrospectively.
Did they know what cancer was, though? Did you have to? Do you think Hugo might have said, "Well, what is cancer?"
I think you've. Do you know what you've always known what cancer is? You've seen it in movies, right?
Oh yeah.
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 But do you have you always understood that people die from cancer?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, go on, you can say that.
Rachel Bland died.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she was announced in a thing.
In what?
In the award-winning ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But how did that make you feel when you found out that Rachel died?
Well, we were coming home and Hugo was like, do you know that that's happened? I was like, no, you're joking with me.
Yeah,
he normally plays jokes on me. I was like, oh my God. I was like very confused. And I didn't really understand like why, but now I do.
But does that make you worry?
No.
Why not?
Because you've had it for so long.
Oh. Oh. But do you ever worry about me dying?
No.
Oh. Okay. That's good to know.
It's really good to know, isn't it? It's like a positive attitude.
Yeah.
That's because you're so positive, Mum.
Do you just think, my mum's got cancer? That's right.
No.
Okay. But you just get used to living with your mum with cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to go to nice places.
You get a lot more time together now.
It's really interesting because I've always been really open because from a teacher perspective, I've seen it from reverse.
Yeah.
So what happens is basically if you're not that open with the kids, I've seen kids then make up the gaps and really freak out about it because they assume the worst. Mm. And actually sometimes the worst is way worse than actually what the reality is. And so I just kind of assumed, look, if I'm going to be open about it, I may as well. That's the kind of strategy because I don't want to skirt around and hide it.
Yeah.
But I think that's really interesting. I just always assumed it was a bigger deal than what it was, but it probably isn't. It's just living with cancer. It's my life, not theirs.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So what do you do though when there are those tough days, those down days, those kind of really crappy days? Because I mean, when I look at your Instagram, when I see you out and about, you never seem like you have those days. But we all do. And you go into treatment like often, you know. And you're taking medication every day.
Every day,
and that has side effects. Yeah. And
I do have really tough moments where I'm just knackered. Yeah. I would say energy and getting over operations, and it's really sad. Actually, you know, to be honest with you, like I'm in a community, like an online community, where people die, and they do die, and it's really sad to see that. You know, and Eloise mentioned Rachel, and you know, I've seen best friends die, and it's really horrible because every single time you think, "Am I going to be next?"
Yeah.
But then I suppose you just have a bit of a choice, and the choice is like you can only be sad for so long.
Yeah.
Honestly, I actually think that because you kind of, and it's good to be sad.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's really good to be sad. And you have to kind of sit with that for a while. And then you just, I get bored of being sad.
It does. It totally makes sense.
And I'm not being dismissive of it because I appreciate, like, maybe I'm quite lucky to be able to bounce back. Like I was saying, I'm pretty resilient. But I think I'm resilient because the alternative is so rubbish.
Yeah.
Like, I think the alternative is just like, well, I don't really want to live my life like that.
Yeah.
So I think you just then go, okay, fine, pick myself back up. Like, but it is really hard, like, when your body doesn't work, when your body's, like, breaking down in front of you.
Yeah.
I'll say that's really frustrating, very much so.
Because I think a lot of people, especially for me, I probably would go the other way. I think I'd go into a complete funk. But I think that what's positive about you is that you talk about it so openly. You've got your podcast, which is incredible. I absolutely love it. You've written your book.
Yeah.
You know.
Fuck you. What's my book called, Del?
Can I say it?
Yeah, you can say it. Go on.
Can I say the actual word?
You have everybody's blessing.
Yeah, go on.
Blessing.
The actual word.
Yeah, go on.
Oh.
Okay. Do it.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
don't.
F you cancer.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't even say it. That's so sweet.
It's so cute.
You are so well brought up.
Such a good girl. Even though mummy was properly telling you to say it. You don't need to say it. It's fine. We all know what it means.
Yeah, she knows if she ever swore, like, I've got a potty mouth, and she knows if she swears, she is in serious trouble.
Zebs, you love sports. You like running.
I love running. So sports are massive things. I've always used exercise as a way of just, to be honest, keeping me mentally sane.
Yeah, I do that. It's about my head more than anything.
Yes.
I mean, it's because your body does, you know, you get some good side effects with your tummy and your butt, but it's the head.
It's the head.
Just the processing, the managing stress, the picking myself up, increasing endorphins, all of it.
And honestly, that's kind of how I pick myself up. Like, if I'm feeling really rubbish, it's actually exercise that's my saviour.
Because I've listened to a podcast where you've actually run to a surgery.
Yeah, that's really common for me.
I mean, you just run to the Marsden.
But I play
a 10K run.
Yeah, I play these, like, head games with myself, which I appreciate. Like, anybody who's a psychologist listening to me would be like, oh, that's not very healthy. Because I do. I'm like, ain't dead yet. Gonna run to the Marsden. But I kind of just think, well, if I'm about to be told that I'm going to, you know, I've got more tumours, then if I'm running there, sitting, you know, if I'm sitting in my running gear in front of my oncologist and he's like, you know, it's bad news, it's spread to your... This actually genuinely happened. So I just run, like, I think it is the 8K to the Marsden in one of, like, my best times. He then sits there and says, you know, bad news, not what we were expecting. It's run to your liver, you know, it's gone to your liver. And I'm thinking, well, I've just run here, so I ain't dead yet. But it's like, I get that it's not that healthy. And I also get So one of the criticisms I get is that a lot of people, you know, I'm on daily treatment, and most people, you know, a lot of people on daily treatment can't get out of bed. So if they look at someone like me, that's just, it's just not realistic. Mm. But I get that I'm probably on the extreme end of things sometimes. But I've also, it's sometimes about just turning up. So I'm like, yeah, I'm running, but really, I'm running it really slowly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not smashing it. I'm pretty much just walking. Like, I'm just pretending I'm running because I've got
one of those fast waddle walk run things.
Yeah. But in running gear.
In running gear. You feel fabulous. You've got your trainers on. But you talk about this in the book, right? So yeah. There's a lot of kind of myths that you sort of dispel, because I didn't know whether when you did have cancer, whether it was recommended to exercise. Because, I mean, there's things that you hear, and then there's like things you're supposed to eat and then supposed to do. And so I think there is no rhyme or reason. Everybody's very different.
Yeah, and it really gets my back up. So right. I call it, Eloise, I hold, like, just block your ears for 2 seconds. Okay, so I hate, like, basically wanky wellness.
Right.
So, like, I call it wanky wellness. I'm not even sure whether I'm, okay, I appreciate that's a bit wrong. But it really gets my back up, like, the whole, oh, you know, if I'm vegetarian and if I exercise really well, I'm not going to get cancer and I'm going to cancer-proof my life. And I'm like, I've been vegetarian for 25 years, I've run marathons, and you know what about bowel cancer. And I'm not saying I then throw the rule book out, because I absolutely advocate kind of, you know, if you can prevent it, do it. But at the same time, like, it really frustrates me when somebody said, I cured my cancer because, you know, I've done all this, like, nice stuff. And I'm thinking, no, you were just really lucky.
Yeah.
Like, and so I get quite annoyed. So I'm about research and the evidence and really being knowledgeable about your choices.
Yeah.
And then where you can fight your corner and be a little bit kind of, no, this is what I'm fighting for, is researching and understanding what are the best treatments out there. How do you find the best surgeons, the best oncologists? How do you know that you're on the best treatment plan for you? And, you know, have you researched that well enough? And where's the evidence?
Yeah.
And that's, and also then, like, looking after your body in terms of exercise.
Yeah.
And in terms of eating well, because if you can do the best that you can by that side, then you're going to give yourself the best chance to take all the crap that's thrown at you in terms of treatments.
Yeah.
But I really think it's, you know, every single day there's headlines of people who dismiss
alkaline diets.
Oh yeah,
and,
that killed
you
my
know,
cancer.
And like, you know, it's a really tricky one, because
then you start
thinking, I imagine, that I caused my cancer.
I caused my cancer.
Yeah. Ate too many burgers and, didn't have alkaline, used a microwave, all this kind of...
Yeah, which is such a negative thought process. And I think the first thing that people look for when they've been diagnosed is they think, well, what have I done wrong? And the reality is that a lot of people haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And the last thing you then need is to be blamed for it. And I think it becomes really difficult if you then suddenly have these winners and losers, and the winners are the people that beat cancer and the losers are the people that haven't. Because I guarantee you, for every person who, beat cancer through a alkaline diet, there's somebody who tried it and
everything
didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just about weighing up your options and then not criticising people. If they choose to do that, that's fine. But it's like, you've got to have informed choices about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then take whatever route you want. So I, you know, sometimes get criticised for things like, oh, why are you drinking alcohol?
I'm like... Yeah, because you're not shy about coming forward about the fact that you like to have a glass of wine.
Oh, God, no.
You're like, life is short, drink all the wine.
Absolutely. And people are like, can you drink on, like, chemo? And I'm like, well, A, ask your doctor, but B, you know, I've got stage 4 cancer, like, and I really enjoyed wine.
Yeah. So cheers.
Yeah.
F you.
Yeah, basically.
My choice, you know.
And it's it's an informed choice.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't mean we always then make the right decisions.
Yeah.
But I just
I know that when on one of the podcasts, the episodes I'm listening to now, you were just having the ablation on your...
On my liver.
On your liver.
And I wasn't allowed to drink.
And he was like, maybe not for a week. You're like, okay, I can do that. He's like, can I fly? Like, just get away and celebrate.
Just go, when can I drink?
Yeah. So girls, before you go, what are your proudest moments of each other? What are your proudest moments of mummy, do you think?
When she won something. I don't know what.
She won an award?
Yeah.
Was it for...
I think it was like the, like, it's about her podcast.
Right. What award was it? Do you know? Is it up on the shelf somewhere? Or
no.
In the downstairs loo?
I'm the only one of the team that doesn't... Basically, I don't stay out. I'm like, I go home before everybody else. Mm. So the rest of the team are hardcore. Mm. If we win an award, they take it out till 5 a.m.
Right.
I'm the one that's gone home at 3, which means that I don't have any of the awards.
Oh, no.
Whoever was the last man standing has the awards, basically.
Fair enough. What award was that?
So both, it includes,
well,
trick awards.
Yeah.
So the trick awards, Steve has.
Yes.
Like, I went home early. I didn't, you know, I am a party girl, but I
that
you
was
know,
a lunchtime
I'm,
event. They stayed out till 5 a.m.
He stays out till 5. You know, the fact that I went home at midnight, I think I was doing quite well.
Love you, Steve Land. Well done. Oh, dear. And then have you got a moment,
For Eloise.
I quite like the fashion design situation.
Is it one this week?
Do you know, you did really, really well. I'm really proud of Eloise this year. Always, I'm very, very proud of you. You won the award for Endeavour this year at your school, which is basically trying as hard as you possibly can.
And before that, I told Daddy my test report and he said, you could try harder. And then he said, oh, yeah, I know. You proved me wrong.
Yeah, because you were like, no, you've tried your hardest.
Yeah, I said I tried my hardest.
Yeah. Aww. So Eloise is learning. You're learning how to work with your dyslexia at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're doing amazingly well, aren't you?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like the biggest superstar I know, because you're like rocking it. And so even though she finds like exams really challenging,
yeah,
actually, I've just had her school report, and we went to see her teachers, and they said how resilient she is. And how she just gets on with stuff. So that's my proudest things at the moment, isn't it?
Well, that's probably my proudest things in myself as well.
Why is it?
Yeah, probably.
Aww.
And I actually got a 1 in my report this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Aww.
I got 3.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you're really proud of that?
Yeah.
And it's just learning how to that you can actually do stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got no fives.
She got no fives in her report. It's been really nice talking to you both.
You too.
Have you enjoyed being in the studio?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of fun with the microphone and the headphones.
Yeah.
Can you, are you any good at singing?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Do you want to try?
No, I'm just going to fail.
No. See, microphones make you sound really good.
Really?
Yeah, they do. So all like the big singers. Who are your favourite artists? Who are your favourite?
Ariana Grande.
Oh, she's got a good voice. Have you seen her in concert before?
No.
Right.
The Spice Girls.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That must be Mummy's
daughter. Which you really, 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 really,
really... There you go.
Yeah, that's...
Is that what Mummy listens to? Does she turn out really loud and dance around and sing?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
My music choice is just embarrassing.
Who sang YMCA?
The Village People.
Oh, I like the Village
People. Do you like the Village People? A little bit of disco.
Well, she's saying it.
YMCA. Amazing. I can't wait for you to throw a party, one of your infamous parties, and I hope that I get invited. And we will put on YMCA really loud.
Yeah,
is that ideal?
Loud.
A shake on it.
YMCA.
Shake on it. Nice one. Thank you so much, Deborah James and the gorgeous Eloise. Thank you for talking to me, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Super cute. Fabulous is Britain's most read women's magazine and is packed full of affordable fashion and beauty, as well as exclusive interviews with our most loved female celebrities. It's also free every week in the Sun on Sunday. Join me next time on Things I Told My Daughter when I get another chance to meet an amazing mum and daughter duo. If you subscribe to the podcast on your app, you won't miss an episode. Tell us what you think of our podcast too. Please leave a review on your podcast app or talk to us on Twitter at FabulousMag. I'm Lisa Snowden and you've been listening to Things I Told My Daughter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.